Hello there, and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm your host, and I'm so excited about year two of this event where you get an opportunity to get the inside scoop into the hearts and minds of men. And I'm so excited about interviewing our guest today. He has some wonderful things to share, and he's a first-time guest, and I think you're going to really enjoy what he has to offer. So just by way of introduction, I'd like to welcome, and then I'll share a little more about him. I'd like to welcome Barry Selby. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We're so happy about having you here. So for those of you who are not yet familiar with Barry and his work, I just want to share a little bit from his bio. Barry Selby is not your average dating coach. He is a passionate champion for the divine feminine. I love that. He is a true relationship attraction expert, known affectionately to his clients and friends as the Love Doctor. Barry Selby helps strong, successful, committed women heal their hearts, own their own love and magnificence, and embrace their feminine majesty. So they become a powerful force in the world and attract their true divine masculine partnership in relationship. With over 30 years of study of personal development, interpersonal relationships, and embodied understanding of the polarity dance of the masculine and feminine, he brings deep compassion, masculine presence, and wise guidance to assist his clients in their journey to true love. Quoting one of his clients, Barry epitomizes the perfect blend of practical, spiritual, tangible, and intangible in relation to coaching. He comes from a gentle, loving, and friendly spirit that speaks to women and allowed me to open up to him in a way as if I'd known him forever. Well, that's a really beautiful compliment, Barry, and welcome once again.
Thank you. Pleasure. I could not show that one. It blew me away when I received it, so I had to share it.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And it sounds like you've given a great gift to this client, and I'm sure to many other clients.
I'd like to think so.
So why don't you start, just before we get into the main content of this conversation, Barry, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit more about you personally and your own journey and how you found your way into doing this wonderful work in the world.
Yes. Well, as people will realize if they listen, that I am English. That's what the accent is. Originally from England and been in the United States for many years. But my upbringing was very stoic, very reserved, being from English background. It was stiff upper lip. And in my family, my memory was we didn't argue in the family. It was mainly because I think we actually never got expressive enough to express anger or upset. We just stayed nice. So my dating life in my early years, teens and 20s, I would be in a relationship with a woman or a girl at the time, then a woman. And let's just say that we would be fine if everything was fine. But as happens with people, at some point in time, there'd be a discord or an upset or something would go wrong because I wasn't perfect, nor was my partner. She would get upset with me and I would shut down and leave every time. Because I didn't know at the time, and now I know so much more about this, that we are programmed as kids unconsciously to behave and learn about love from what our parents modeled to us. And I was doing exactly that in my 20s. And that started me getting curious about what was going on, because I wasn't doing my relationships as good as I thought I was. And my parents were a perfect couple as far as I was aware of. In fact, my parents were together 59 years till my mother passed away in 2012. But I could never match that. One, because I know my parents' generation, they didn't give up personally. And that was the thing about my parents. And that's all another conversation about what we do nowadays in terms of choosing marriage and divorce. But for me, I realized there was more to life than I was aware of at that point. And so I dived deep into this whole study and have evolved my own life accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And how did that bring you to this place, Barry, where you're now helping support women specifically on this journey?
I had to look back and sort of really think about where this really starts. And my best memory I can remember is when I was in high school. I wasn't the jock or the player or the hunk at the school. I didn't attract all the girls. In fact, far from it. I was kind of the nerd and geek. But what I was, without realizing it, was I was the soft shoulder, the safe place that the girls could come to when they had a breakup with their boyfriend or some upset, and they cry on my shoulder. I didn't have any skills. I'd had a safe space. And if I'd known better at the time, I would have, capitalized on that. But I didn't do anything with it. It was just, I just had that space. And I've always had this place with women, and I've always had more women friends than male friends in my life because I just have this place of comfort. And at that time, a very naive approach to women. Now it's more aware of what's going on. But the truth is, I've always felt a deep reverence for the feminine. That was instilled in me by my mother, I know, and my grandmother before her. So it's always been within me, even though I didn't start this until many years later. But really what came forward, to answer your question directly, is about 10 years ago after my last really bad breakup, which is a whole other story I get into later on, I became very passionate about finding what I was not understanding, which is the masculine feminine part I talk about in my work. And part of the work I discovered as learning to be a more masculine man versus a macho man was that I needed to get clear about why I'm on the planet. Because part of the teaching I've learned, and I believe firmly, is that as a masculine man, we are purpose-driven first, then we can have a healthy relationship. And I never did that before. I've proven many times the other way around doesn't work. Mm. So I've been driven by that ever since. And the work that comes clear to me is about relationship because I've been studying that for 30 years.
Mm. Yeah, that's very interesting. And this whole discussion and this whole topic between the dance between the masculine and feminine, or the polarity between the masculine and feminine, seems to be a really hot topic these days, and yet it still feels like it's very confusing to a lot of people. It still feels like it's a stumbling block in a lot of relationships, and maybe that's in part because of the way our society has evolved and changed, and I think there's a lot of confusion and different messaging out there. But share with us some of the foundations of this, of your understanding of this male and female dynamic, polarity, whatever you want to call it.
I know the words are still being, I'm finding that I'm still using the same words I learned, and I haven't found better ones yet, so bear with me with the word.
Right.
The way I best describe it, and this is because of the studies, the people I studied with back in 2007, 8, and 9, we have definitely been evolving as a culture. The model that my parents, and probably your parents, and other people's parents of that generation experienced was really the old codependent model. The man was the breadwinner, the woman stayed at home. It was a very macho man, meek housewife type thing. And in fact, the model I would flip back on, for those who remember this show from way back when, was All in the Family. Without your bunker and Edith Bunker. Now, if you're probably younger than 45 or 50, you probably remember the show, but that's the show I remember. In that concept, he was the breadwinner, and it was kind of, he was the angry, he ran the show, he was very macho, and the woman was a stay-at-home housewife, took care of the kids and the cooking. Yet they couldn't live without each other. It was almost like they were the two peas in a pod. But it was codependent. And that's the model I was raised with, my parents were doing, and that generation was doing. Then, and this is, I'm trying to put this in the sequence in my mind, in the 60s, give or take, was when the sexual revolution really happened. Called the feminist movement, sexual revolution, was when women sort of got their power the first time. And it was really an evolution of women at that time, unfortunately, I think it was mislabeled, where it wasn't the feminist movement for women, it was the macho movement for women. They basically got to burn their bras, cut their hair, put on pants suits, take off makeup and go to work, and basically copy the men. Now, it was a step towards freedom, but it wasn't the ideal end result, at least in my view. So women then got their own bank accounts. And for a lot of women realizing, it was only 60 years ago, 70, or 50 years ago, when women first got their own bank accounts, got to drive cars, and got to their own apartments. Before that, it didn't really happen. Kind of amazing, it's been that only 50 years. Anyway, so women got their own apartments, and basically they had independence at that point. So the men who at that, in the 60s especially, were doing more like growing their hair long, as I did as a kid, smoking weed and dropping out. So men and women sort of switched roles, and women were taking charge and getting out in the world doing stuff, and the men were being more laid back and mellow. Mm-hmm. So actually it became very confusing back then, and some of that still happens. But what was happening was women were independent and so were men. So relationships weren't so much about codependent locked together. It was more like negotiation. You know, who's paying, like my place or your place, and all this different stuff that came up. that's still propagating towards now, but there's a third level, if you want to put that, of relationship that I believe is what's birthing and what's coming more prevalent, which is, in some ways, it's the fully realized man, which is a masculine, fully realized woman and a feminine. But what it truly is an interdependent level, because the truth is we as individuals are whole and complete. We don't need each other to survive. However, we have differences that each person can benefit from. So a masculine-feminine dance relationship isn't codependent. It's a relationship that is additive. So the relationship is multiplied, as it were. It's a relationship, not 50-50, it's 100-100. And that's a healthy relationship. And in some terminology, they call it the king and the queen or the warrior and the goddess. It's all different labels. But truthfully, what it is, and this is when we get into a bit more about women being the feminine, is women have yet to discover, I believe, as a large population, how much power they really wield in the feminine. And that could be a four-hour conversation, so I just want to drop that little seed there. But men, we have a right, have a role to play, being in a masculine versus a macho. And to break down very quickly, the macho man is driven by ego, what he can get, what he can take, how he can get everything out of the world. The masculine man is really heart-driven, what I can give, how I can serve, what difference can I make in the world. And that's the simplest way of defining the macho versus the masculine. So that's a lot to give you, I know.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And ladies, you may even want to go back and listen to that. But I really appreciate you sharing that. And I think that, I know when I've talked to some of my clients, there's almost a little bit of resistance around this idea of femininity, because when we speak about it, they hear it as weakness, or hearkening back to another old show that was on TV. You know, they envision themselves being like June Cleaver or something, right, or a damsel in distress.
Right.
And yet you and I both believe that femininity includes both that softness, but also the strength of a woman. And you spoke, you mentioned, you just touched on this, the strength and the power that women have as feminine, when they're in their feminine, so to speak. And I wonder if you could speak to that just a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let me do this in a way that's not too political, but at least is making it aware, is that women have been told by the powers that be that men run the show, because it's a very patriarchal culture we live in. So women have thought themselves, because they've been trained that way, themselves being the weaker sex, the fairer sex, which is an insult, to be honest. Yes, women generally are not physically as strong as men, but emotionally and internally, I believe women are way more powerful. And in fact, the way the analogy I remember hearing was, and this is the dance of relationship, by the way, is that in relationship, the masculine creates the river banks, the feminine is the river itself. So the masculine creates the structure that women can flow within, but without the banks, the river can just become a lake, it doesn't go anywhere. But without the river, the masculine is empty. So the feminine power is the river itself. In fact, the way that one of my teachers spoke about it was that the masculine is the biggest ocean-going container ship. That is, you know, that's half a mile long and takes 5 miles to turn, because, you know, we don't change very quickly. So it's a perfect model for that. And then people say, well, what's the feminine? The feminine is the ocean it sits on. The women's energy is so much more infinite, because life itself is feminine. The energy of movement, everything that happens on the planet is feminine. So what women, I hope, are realizing in the feminine is they have the power of energy at their fingertips. And I believe that the world is needing your feminine energy, because the way I describe it is the masculine tendency naturally is combative and competitive. The feminine energy is collaborative and cooperative. And it's that energetic, that willingness to bring ideas together to be in a place of sisterhood for the sake of us, of everybody, that will save the planet. So this is a big idea I'm bringing forward, I know. But women's power is so much more than women realize, because they've been told basically lies over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. And I appreciate you sharing that. So one thing that came to mind is, how does this relate to the world of dating and love and relationships? Because as you know, the majority of the women listening to this event are single women who would like to be in relationship, in a partnership relationship, and in most cases with a masculine man.
Yes.
So I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit.
Well, dating tips, the simple stuff, is that the male energy, the masculine, is the hunter, is the pursuer, is the one that goes seeking things out. Then women start to think, well, if I do that, I'm copying the men. That's true. But they also think, you don't sit there and just go, okay, I'll wait till he shows up. But that's not healthy either. You basically just sit in the corner and wait. I remember, this is many years ago, you see it on movies and old TV shows back in the older times, where especially in the 18th, 19th century, when a woman was interested in a man, she would like drop her handkerchief in front of him mm-hmm. as a beckoning or invitation. And I use that analogy a lot because it's the simple thing is that we men, to be honest, are simple folk. We don't necessarily have a great sense of intuition, sensitivity that's really in the neighborhood for the feminine to use. So a lot of times we could be out looking at different women, as we do, and going, I'm interested in that one, that one, and that one. But for some of us, we've been rejected so many times, we're cautious about approaching. But if a woman's interested in a man, if she lets him know, and is that overt, by dropping the handkerchief, because again, if you just flicker an eyelid, you may be thinking you're telling us a whole life story, but we don't know you did anything, because we're not that aware, just to be honest.
You're thinking she has something in her eye, right?
It's just reality, the difference in skills. Women's intuition, although we have the intuition too, but for many of us, it's not been developed very well. But your ability to connect, when women talk to each other, I've watched this and it cracks me up. Women can converse and communicate with 7 sounds, 3 words, and a nod of the head. That basically say no, and we were like, what happened? Because we don't sense that way. So by a woman doing something similar to dropping a handkerchief, but it's doing something overt that is not, it's not demeaning, it's not like so callous, but it's really just a sensitivity saying to the man, yes, I'm interested. Then first of all, it means that he's got the choice to act on that or to run away, which he might do. But the truth is then he's going to feel a little more comfortable knowing that he's not just shooting randomly. He's actually aiming somewhere where he feels he can be received. Again, women are trapped. And oh, this, by the way, the piece. We are the pursuers as men. We are the hunters. We seek things out. The women have this amazing ability to attract, and women who do work with the law of attraction will understand this. Women can attract more easily than men can. So they become the magnets that pull us in. But do it in a way that we know you're doing it.
So what would be an example of that, Barry? What would be the modern day version of dropping the handkerchief? What would be an example? If we're batting our eyes and you might be thinking in our eye, what might be a modern day example?
is an exploration for women to do, because there isn't, say, a set of rules for this. I don't have a book on this saying you should do this, this, and this, and this. It's really a matter of leaning into it and seeing what you do to get a man's attention. And you can try this out in the world, generally. If it's got like standing in place by a door, so they can open the door for you, or if it's, it could be dropping something, not your phone, but something that is retrievable. Or maybe even just like leaving something on the chair, like your coat, so that when hopefully he'll recognize that and grab it and get it to you, versus if he doesn't, you just go back and get it yourself.
Right.
Things that are these invitations and then see what happens, because partly it's an experiment on your part, but secondly, you'll find out how sensitive and how smart the man is. Is he aware enough to catch that? If he's not, maybe you want to say, forget it, it's not interesting. Because if you've got to train him too much, then it's not what you want anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps a little bit.
Yeah. I think those are, you know, they're real life examples and ways that you can dance and experiment with. And I also have found in my own experience, asking a question or asking for advice or asking for help when I need it can also be a way to really engage a man. It gives him a chance, if he has expertise or knowledge, for him to show off a little bit or to offer something that is of value and to be appreciated. And so there's a lot of little things that you can do where it creates like a win-win opportunity for that interaction, whether it goes beyond that moment or not.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. So Barry, what are some of the common, let's just say, challenges that you see in women that are coming to you or asking you for your advice or support? Share with us a few of the common challenges.
some of the war stories, as it were. I would say the most common one that I've experienced with my clients is that they have, well, to use the blunt term, they've become ball busters without realizing it. Women, a lot of my clients are women who are very strong, successful businesswomen. So they're very dynamic, and basically they are shoulder to shoulder with the men. And then they use the same energetic when they're out in dating and in the romance scene, and it's not working for them, because what they're doing is they're emasculating the men, or they're overdoing, they're actually being more manly than the men are, which is ridiculous, but unfortunate, because women have been trained that way. And the thing is, our culture does not support, and this is one of my pet peeves, does not truly support women being in strength, leadership, and femininity combined. So women have put femininity in the back, and some women have forgotten how to do it even. They've been so in that rut for 20, 30 years of building business, being successful, making things happen, but they've got a trail of basically these corpses of men, bad relationships that failed behind them because they didn't let a man lead in the relationship. And they didn't choose a man who would lead. That's another part, by the way. So they would choose men who either try to compete with them or try to put them back in the box, which never would work, but weren't stepping up either. So part of it is being the feminine. The second thing is choosing to have a standard where the man you choose to be with honors and respects you and your feminine. But that's a mandatory part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this becomes a very real challenge, because in climbing the corporate ladder or expanding a woman's career, she has been out there in the business world, which in many ways operates from a very masculine place. As an example, a public company that I worked for, you know, we were constantly worried about numbers and the next quarter's earnings and sales volume. I mean, it was very, very, it was a very driven environment. And that kind of competitive, hard-driving, outcome-focused attention that many of us, myself included, back in the day have given to our careers can lap over into our interpersonal relationships without us even realizing it. It can be almost a little insidious, and we may not realize it has happened. Because as I shared with you, Barry, I always thought of myself as being a very feminine woman in my approach, in my appearance, in every way. And yet I can look back on those days and I can see where some of this had seeped into my interpersonal actions and interactions with men.
But see, this is part of the homework I give my clients, just as a recognition, is that for women, yes, I'm very aware how much for women your jobs and your vocation is so important to you. The thing is, though, and since some of my clients are entrepreneurs, they do it 24/7, is that when they're looking at being out romantically, being on dates, it's the thing is, something I recommend is that don't go out for a drink right after work, because you're still in the mindset of work. You need time to decompress and to reset. And for simple things such as going to yoga class, because for women, a lot of women out there, doing some sort of physical movement, if they're sitting at desk all the time, is going to help free up the energy to put back in the feminine. Or take a bath for 20 minutes, for half an hour. To do something that restores themselves to their touch, their energy, and their flow will help women reconnect to the feminine, which means they do go out afterwards or the next day or afternoon for a meeting for a first date, they're more relaxed into the feminine, and they can leave their work at home, as it were, or leave the work at the office, and they can be separate from that. But unfortunately, many, because of the way society works, dates happen right after work, and a lot of women, they're going to say, well, I need to take a break between to reset. Otherwise, you stay in the masculine, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think those are really good suggestions. And I do think if it's possible to have that barrier of time between finishing up your work before you go out on a date can be really helpful. And I also find sometimes you might want to change your clothes into something that's a little soft or free-flowing or has a little bit more of a date-like feel to it.
Yes.
You know, my husband and I, from time to time, have joked around about, you know, how we're all like suited up for work. And it's almost like a little bit of armor that's a protection around us or something like that. And
very true.
In some cases, it can be a little bit off-putting. We might just consider that just even little things can make a big difference. You know, a heel, a little bit of a heel on a shoe, a little bit, maybe a little skirt or a little dress or something that's more in free-flowing fabric can actually make a woman feel more in her feminine too. And it's not that same outfit you wore to work.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing is, those sort of outfits in the work environment may come across in a whole different way than you intend. So having that change is vital. So I definitely think you're right on that one. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is also men do it too, is that we do suit up to go to battle at work. So women have been trained to do the same thing. So absolutely what you said is true. Having that change of appearance, internal, external, is vital for women to reconnect, because we don't support that in the business world, unfortunately.
Yeah, so even if you're not wearing a suit per se, it's still like you're in that work, you're in your work clothing, and it somehow it feels differently. I know when I was out in corporate America, I couldn't wait to get home and change into something more comfortable. It just made me feel more relaxed, more light, more free-flowing, and like I was now shifting from being in that very intense work mode, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So why, Barry, this is a question that I think might be on the minds of some women.
Yes.
That are listening. Why is it that masculine men are so attracted to women that have that feminine side? What is it about it? From a male perspective, share with us, what is it that makes that so attractive and appealing?
True, authentic, and talk about polarity, and I'll use that word in this context. We carry within us, all of us carry a blend or a balance of masculine and feminine polarity to add up to 100% of who we are. Men who are in the masculine are tend towards the masculine end of the spectrum, women in the feminine towards the other end of the spectrum as well. But we generally not 100% one or the other. Someone who is, I mean, to put it in context of sexuality, someone who's 50-50 is basically androgynous. They don't have any protective polarity either way. So, additive to that is we also move between both sides of the spectrum based on what we're doing. You know, if we're holding a baby, we're going to be more in a feminine. If we're driving a car, probably more in a masculine. That's generally the way things are, independent of the gender of the body that it's in. The reason I use polarity is because in some ways, masculine and feminine are very similar to magnets. And if you put them North Pole magnet and South Pole magnet together, they attract each other very strongly. Mm-hmm. If you put a North Pole and North Pole together, there's no attraction there. That is repulsion. So masculine and masculine don't have any attraction to each other, nor do feminine and feminine. And again, I'm talking about polarity, not gender. So this is not about relationship, not about gay or straight relationships. In magnets, that strength of attraction, the more masculine, the more North Pole, the more South Pole, the more powerful the connection, same as the more masculine, the more feminine, the more connection there is, the more attraction there is. The downfall of this is for people who've been in a relationship for a while, that masculine and feminine polarity has become demagnetized over time. So if you, for example, put magnets in a drawer together and you leave them for a few months, you'll find that the magnets have lost their magnetism because there's no polarity there. And same with a couple in the masculine and feminine who are also comfortable, they become friends. The key about masculine and feminine is it's not fixed, as I mentioned, it's also rechargeable. So we as individuals can find ways to recharge the batteries. As I said earlier, women can go to yoga or go take a bath. If women go shopping with their sisters, or they go out for brunch with all the women and they hang out there, they're recharging the feminine batteries. Mm-hmm. And the masculine go out with the boys and go work out or go on a hike or do something out there that's really dynamic that way, especially away from his partner, recharge the batteries. So masculine and feminine energy is rechargeable. That's one thing to remember. It's not you start there and it goes away. Some people think it does. It's like, no, you can always recharge it. So it's a sense of polarity that creates the greater, in some ways, masculine and feminine polarity is what creates the chemistry that causes attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very well said. I really liked how you described that. And I think it's important for the women that are on this event to understand that what we're talking about here is not about you being less than what you are or dimming your light. In fact, it's about you brightening that light. It's just embracing that full scope of what makes you the amazing woman that you are, which does include this area of femininity, as well as all of the wonderful, amazing things you're doing out there in the world. I think what we're saying here, Barry, and you might want to add to this, is that you just may not want to lead with all of this, look at what I'm doing, rocking it out here in the world. You might want to lead with this other aspect of yourself, especially in the early stages of dating, because if you keep dating someone, they're going to come to know all of the amazing things you're doing, but it you don't want to set yourself up for an initial interaction where it is like a competitive or a professional kind of interaction, right?
Yes. If you come to the table as a woman with your achievements, which is the masculine energy, with a man, he's going to compare himself against that, and he's going to come up losing. So that won't be a good way to move.
Yeah.
So having that softness when you come in, not being weak, and this is a key thing, softness is not weak in this context. When you have your humans in a fullness, then she's much more available to be present, and a man will be very attracted to that because he's not feeling competed with. He's feeling much more matched with, which is what it's really about. So yes, you're right.
Right. So Barry, I know that I'm shifting gears here just a little, but I know you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that you were going to tell us about your breakup from a few years back. And I don't want to leave the women hanging. I don't want to leave them hanging saying, wait, he never told us about what happened there. And you can use that in whatever way you want to add to this conversation, but I just don't want to leave them hanging.
I appreciate that. And Bonnie's like, oh, damn, yes. Okay. yes, that last breakup, which was back in 2006, was the third in a row the same thing had happened. And this is like giving you a big clue in your relationship history. I dated in sequence three different women who I thought were great matches because we were coming from the same teaching background, understanding, and were very attracted to each other. But there were clues, big clues being left along the way. The last one of those relationships, she asked me out, which should have given me a clue. She also, looking back, was, and I'm outing her this way, even though she's very much a woman, she had very short hair, she had a very boyish figure, and she was very driven, which I thought was exciting. I don't know what was in my head, though. She wasn't particularly traditional, shapely, feminine body type or long hair. But our sex was amazing. But at the end of it, she probably gave me the biggest and most overt clue what I was missing, because she was comparing me unfavorably with the grandfather, because she wanted a man who reminded her of her grandfather. It was this cowboy back in the southern states. When she was a kid, and her ex-husband, she just divorced, and then I were both these new age soft guys who weren't like taking charge. But what I was seeing, she wanted a macho man like he was that would just take care of everything and she could just put her feet up. And I wasn't that. But I also didn't know how to get back to something like that. And that was the end of 2006. And a few months later, I finally, it was only a few months. The question I was asking was, what am I missing? And then I found some teachers and some studies that really opened me up to understanding this whole masculine feminine piece, because at that point I'd spent over 20 years in spiritual study, and I got a master's degree in spiritual psychology and doing these seminars. What I've been doing was basically was moving from here to here, but I was also softening into my feminine energy without realizing it, being open to spirituality, being receptive. I wasn't taking charge, and I didn't realize how I'd let go of the macho, because that wasn't ever part of my real preference. But I hadn't found this anchor inside of me that was masculine either. So I was in this wishy-washy place, unfortunately. So I proved to myself and to my then ex-girlfriends that if I didn't have clarity about why I was here, my purpose, I'd ruin our relationships. I did three of that in a row, so I know that doesn't work. So when I started this teaching and started learning from teachers that showed me that for me to be authentically my masculine versus macho, being driven by a purpose in the world that's bigger than who I am, I become more aligned to my truth, and I become more attractive to a partner that's going to dance with me. And also, I see the difference between where I was and where I am now. And it's rewarding, and it's also a transformational experience now on this journey. But the truth is, looking back at those three relationships, in fact, one of those women, after we broke up, went through her own journey of understanding, and she also does now, which is kind of funny. We met up 10 years later, and we're both relationship coaches now, which is ridiculous. At the time, we were both in different fields. Back then, I was in some other arena, and so was she. But our breakout spurred us to learn more about the polarity of relationship and how we understood. So we're both doing relationship coaching now, which is amazing in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That sounds like it was a really key part of your journey and led you to discovering some concepts and some principles and teaching that allow you now not only to transform what is possible in your own life, but also in the lives of others. So that's wonderful. This seems, Barry, like a really, really good time for us to introduce the listeners to a wonderful free gift that you're offering. Certainly. And ladies, before he tells you about it, I just want to let you know that you can get it on the link right underneath this interview that you're listening from, and it'll be available throughout the rest of the series, but make sure you pick it up now because you don't want to miss out. So Barry, share a little bit about what you're sharing with us today. I think this will be really valuable.
Yes. Well, as I've shared, I've been on this path for 30 plus years. I've been studying and learning and making lots of mistakes and learning lots of lessons. I never intended to do this, but I ended up basically writing this into a book. And I wrote a book of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover that basically was downloaded through me, basically showing me everything I'd learned along the way and put it into, in a way, in like a conversational way I teach. It's not a textbook. It's really a explanation of how to live life better, have a healthy relationship. And this book, it's become a bestseller. It's opened lots of doors for me. And truth is, people love what it's in the book. So what I'm offering here is the digital version of that, so you can get it right away. It's 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, 50 Principles for a Healthy Relationship, whether you're single or a couple. There's something in for everybody. And that's my gift to you.
Thank you, Barry. That's very generous and a very lovely gift. And I'm sure that we're all going to benefit from going deeper with your wisdom, because I know we've only had a chance to touch on the tip of the iceberg here today. But I'm very grateful for what you've shared. And I know that the listeners will benefit greatly as well. So before we wrap up for today, I also want to give you an opportunity to just leave us with a little parting thought or last piece of wisdom, if you'd like.
Oh, just one?
One?
Well, the one comes up for me, which sounds so simple, but it's one of the most pivotal pieces I've learned as a lesson for myself, but also for my clients, is that there's a mistaken approach that we have in the world, which you think that we'll be loved by somebody out there and that make us feel better. Ladies, and I'll say this to you very clearly, until you love yourself first, he will never love you enough. So do your homework, which is to love yourself. However you do that, it's up to you, but I just recommend if you just take time every day to appreciate who you are, to love who you are, it'll make you more attractive, it'll make you more comfortable in your body, and also make your life much more enjoyable. So self-love is the key to everything.
Oh, I love that you ended with that. I think that's really powerful, and it resonates deeply with me as being very true.
Yes. So I'm
really grateful you ended with that piece. And we both Barry and I, want to thank you for being here with us today and for being a part of this series, because the fact that you're here and you're engaged and interested in knowing more about men and relationships is part of your path to creating even more of what you want in your life. So we commend you for being here. And I also want to let you know that in addition to Barry's gift, if you want to scroll down on this page, you can also own the entire series and some really juicy bonuses. There's a link to purchase the upgrade on this page, or you can also go to themanpanel.com/VIP. So we encourage you to do that so that you can have this in your personal library, and we hope you will join us for more of the event. Thank you once again, Barry.
Thank you.
And thank you so much to all of you for joining us. Bye-bye for now.